And we are living in a time of revolution, time that we don't know what's right, what's wrong, and many people are pushing me to join a lot of force that going against injustice. Those of you close to me know that usually don't join force that go against something. It will be very difficult for me to do. I believe we can join something that is for something. So a lot of time, you know, there is a situation where you see something injustice and you want to stand up for that. And the question is, are you adding something? Are you adding something? Or maybe by trying to bring justice, you are creating destruction somewhere else. And we are living in a time where there is the virus, the COVID, then the riot, then the protest, which unfortunately the protest standing for something which is injustice, which is pure, which is beautiful. And the riot, together with the protest, breaking windows, destroying small businesses for people. So how do you deal with that? We are living in a time like this. It's very, very difficult because your heart is split. In one way, you agree because this is wrong, what's going on. It's not just injustice toward people of colors or Jewish or Christian or Muslim or any other religion. It's just the universe is going to transition to become more fair, to give a chance for everybody, because I believe we all need a fair chance to make it. And it seemed like this is one area that of the protest, which I believe there is so many other area of injustice, and I hope this will be like a beginning of wake up. But I will tell you that I'm disagree for breaking window, breaking the store, stealing, especially in the COVID when people are running out of money and small businesses are suffering. So making a revolution for the sake of everybody win, I'm totally for it. But we shouldn't hurt people on the way to find justice. And if you disagree with me, you have the right to disagree. Of course, if you all agree with me, please support this message by create more balance in the world, because there is so much more that we need to bring justice into. I'll give you one example, education. Education, you know, you see those kids running to college, paying so much money, going borrow money just that they don't have. And what are they going to do after college? They have to study a profession another 3 or 4 years. And then getting a job, maybe getting a job. Do you understand? So what about that injustice? So the injustice has no end because it's run by greed. It's run by people. Because it's run by people, we tend to fall into a selfish agenda. So we need to pray. We need to meditate. We need to hope and desire that we can bring to the arena of the protest more. How do we build? How do we together we have to build? So today is the protest for injustice that happened for the people of color. I just hope that if tomorrow it will be a protest for injustice happening in education, then we all join, the people of color, the Jewish, the Muslim. We got to find that unity, because sometimes when you are protest for the right thing, you will be not protest for the something else because it's not attached to you. And I just want to share that at the beginning. Why am I sharing it this week? I mean, I had a chance to share it last week and the week before more, because we are dealing in a very important section in the Torah. It's called Be'alotcha. Be'alotcha mean elevate. Elevate, you know, to elevate. But the little translation, Ba'alotcha et anerot, when you light the candle. When you light the candle. I don't know if Michael is online. Today is Michael's English birthday. So please, if you have time, wish Michael happy birthday later. So, Ba'alotcha meaning to light the candle, but they use the word be'alotcha, mean elevate the candle. And the question, why do you use the word elevate? And we need to understand what is a candle. When we talk about the word candle, it's written, Ner Hashem, Nishmat Adam. The candle of God is a soul of a person. So the soul of the individual is basically the candle of God. Why are human compared to candle? Simple. If you look at the candle, there's a wax, there is a wick. Basically, that's all. That relationship between the wax and the wick is, you need enough wax to make it last longer, but without the wick, the candle has no value. You need both. You need both. So the soul of a person is the wick. That's why there is a flame attached to it. The candle, the wax, is the body. How long are you going to be here for? So when you are combining both of them together, you have a human being. For that reason, it's a Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. The soul of a person is a candle of God. So if you want to know how the candles of God look like, you look at people, you look at the soul of people. When it say Ba'alotcha Et Hanerot, when it say when you elevate the candle, it meant when you elevate the soul of a person. So this week will teach us how are we elevating ourselves. How do you jump to the next level? What is that you need to do to jump to the next level? What is that you need to prevent from doing to jump to the next level? So let's get into that. If you look at the flame of a candle, the flame gotta go up. The flame going up. What is up? What is up there? People will say God, the divine. What about down? There is no divine down. Almost like the story for a person searching for the divine, searching for the divine. And he's going to the mountain and he's going to all the most spiritual places. And he go to all where the gathering of all the guru and the master of spirituality. And he finally, after 12 years of study and practice spirituality, arrived to the top of the mountain, to the top of the teaching and the teacher. When he get there, he's doing this secret meditation. He said, God, I'm finally ready to meet you. And he said, dear God, where are you? I am here on the top of the level. Where are you, God? And hear a voice that say, me? I'm down there in the marketplace with the people. And the person thinking, I elevated myself for 12 years to get to that spiritual level. And God was there with the people in the marketplace, in the place that there's no spirituality. Spirituality. Elevation. It's not how high the mountain go. It's not how many guru you believe in. It's not how many meditation you do. It's to find the divine within everything. Yes, in the marketplace. Yeah, of course it's that. I'm about to tell you a story that tell you how far the divine go. Story go was a great master of mysticism, of Kabbalah. His name is not important, but I will say his name. His name is the Seer of Lublin. The reason they call him the Seer, he could see from the beginning of time to the end of time. Very poor man. People never knew who he was. It was before he was discovered. He and his wife, you know, poor people, have tradition that on Friday night, he go and pray and meditate, and she arranged the house a little bit to put some candle and some little food on the table. She realized she miscalculated the amount of coin they have. And she ran out of the candles of meditation for her spiritual husband. She knew that her husband wouldn't mind if she has it or not, because he loved her unconditionally. But she really wanted to do that. So she go to the street to beg for money. She was so embarrassed. And she see that man that everybody judge in town. There isn't a judge, he's a playboy. He go after every opportunity to party and to do everything. So he's not part of the spiritual people in the village. So she's looking to the other direction, maybe other people pass by, so she can borrow 2 coins. And nobody's there. He's coming with this beautiful carriage and horses. He stopped by and he said, "Can I help you?" She doesn't know what to do because she feels the divine sent this man. He's full of perfume and a great look. He goes down from the horse and say, "Lady, I know you're judging me not to be spiritual, but I truly want to help. What is going on? Why are you crying?" She said, "Well, I'm sure you're not familiar with it, but during Friday night, my husband and me meditate, so we light candles, and I ran out of money, and I don't want your money. I just want to borrow 2 coins. He reached out to his pocket. He said, "Listen, I'm giving you this bill, which is way more than 2 coins. It's yours. It's for me to you as a gift. Please let you and your husband enjoy." At that part, she started crying. She's so embarrassed that she received so much money. And she looked at him and said, "Listen, I cannot get a gift from you." He said, "No, you have to get it as a gift. You can't, I have enough money." And she looked at him and said, "What do I give to you in return?" He said, "I don't need anything." I said, "Would you be okay if I bless you?" He said, "If it makes you happy, please bless me." She put her hand around his head. And she said, "They make the divine and the angel will let you feel the feeling of spirituality by Friday night." And I said, "Thank you, my lady." And he go back on the carriage and he go to his party. In the meantime, her husband was the greatest spiritual person at that time, but nobody knew him yet. He's praying, but when he's praying, my friend, he's not like you and me praying. You know, we pray something, we look at the book, we read a little bit words here and there, we cry when we're emotional, we laugh when we're happy, we are moody. But when him, the seal of Lublin, pray, his body maybe is there, but his soul left. His soul left to the 7 levels of pray. And he reached to the highest. And reached to the highest, there is angels waiting for him. He said, the seer. Say, "Yes, my dear angel, what's going on?" He said, "We have a little issue. We need to talk to you for a second." "So what's going on?" He said, "Listen, we're very much accustomed to the idea that you bless people even if they don't deserve. We're okay with that. All the angels agree with that. But now, your lovely wife do the same. Now it's 2 people doing it, giving free blessing to people who's not deserving that blessing. They did nothing for that." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "This playboy, remember from your village? Your wife just blessed him." He said, "And what exactly the problem?" He said, "The problem that the blessing of somebody like your wife or like you, you are very holy people. When you bless people, it happened. And that light that's going to come into their life, it's a lot. They didn't do enough for that." He looked at the angel and he said, "Where is this playboy right now?" He said, "Do you really want to see?" And he said to the angel, "Help me." And they opened the curtain of heaven and they show him. And of course, he's party with everything that moved at that time. And the seer of Lublin looked at the angel, said, "Dear angel, why do you think it cannot be spiritual?" They said, "We are angel, we don't know." And he looked at the angel and said, "I tell you, give me a chance here by giving that person only 25 minutes of spiritual feeling. Would you allow him to feel the blessing of my wife? Not for the whole day, but just for 25 minutes. The angel said, "No problem at all." At that moment, the soul of the seer of Lublin going back to the body. The seer walking home. arrive to his wife, they're having their dinner, they meditate. That one scene, the playboy, in the middle of the party, as an awakening, spiritual awakening. He start looking at his life and say, what am I doing with my life? What a waste of time. What a waste of relationship. What a waste of everything. I can't continue like that. But where would I go now? He get out of that place and start crying, start feeling ashamed. He never felt like this in his life. He felt empty. So he's going around looking for where to go. And he goes back to the place where he gave the money to the lady. And he sees from far a little home. It was looked like a shack because they were very poor. And he gets closer, knock on the door. And of course, her husband, Sylvie Lovelin, opened the door together with his wife. She recognized him, say, welcome. We have a little food for you too. And from that moment, that person become the successor of the CEO of Lovelin. They don't ever mention his name, not to embarrass him. But this story is to teach us something. We are, have within us as a soul, a flame that wanna go up. A flame that wanna connect all the time. Nobody born with a wet candle. We born with a healthy candle. With the time, sometimes the candle gets wet. The wick disappears. The wax disappears. And it's our mission to find a way how to connect the two together and how to bring the flame. Ba'alotrat ha'nerot, elevating the candle, as it's written, mean how do you elevate yourself? What is that you need to do this week to elevate yourself to the level that the burning desire is being awake? And you can get to a place where you're absolutely connected to what we call the light force, what we call the divine, what we call the angel. It's available this week. So let's read more and understand. So, when we talk about elevation, we are talking about going above something simple is called the egoism, the ego. The ego, the self-observed things, when I'm thinking just about me, all that feeling that I want to feel special or whatever I want to, I feel I'm terrible. When sometimes people say, I'm so bad, that's ego too. Because who told you it's so bad? You know, people like to crush themselves before somebody else crushing them. That's ego. So I'm saying, I'm so bad, I'm so fat, I'm so ugly. Why are you saying that? What's your purpose of saying that? You think it's crushing your ego? No. Ego can only crush by other people. If you're crushing your own ego, that's the ego itself. It's even more deadly ego. Because that ego is so dangerous. Because you have ego to know that you have ego. There's nothing more dangerous than that ego. Then you have the regular ego. It's called childish ego. Childish ego is when you want to show off. Don't worry about that ego. Why you don't have to worry about that ego? Because that ego can be cured by society. Society will find you and then correct you with the time. But the inner ego, meaning when you think you're not so good and you're crushing yourself, that's a dangerous one. So when we are talking about elevation, is to get into a place where you slowly, slowly get rid of the need to speak about the I am and me. Because yes, there is I am, which is important, which is you, as you, as yourself. But you cannot be busy with yourself all the time. And if it's all what you do, then there is a falling that's coming. This portion talk about Ba'alotcha, elevating, there is a falling. The story of this portion is long. It's a beautiful story. Elevating the candle. Then we have a section that don't appear in any scroll in the Bible ever. You take two Hebrew letters, and you twist them. Those of you have a chance this Saturday, if you live in LA, I can show it to you. The Nun, the letter Nun, which is stand for falling, it twist in this week reading. Twist. There is many reason why we're going to read from the Zohar, why. But that thing, which is twist letter within portion, is basically to help us to prevent falling. Because the letter Nun, Nun stand for Nofel. How do you say Nofel in Hebrew? Falling. Is it sound to your ears the same? If you have musical ears, you hear falling, Hebrew, Nofel. So the in English they just took the N out. So it's falling. They put the N in the end. Well, in Hebrew you put the N in the beginning. Nofel. So Nofel is start with the letter Nun, standing for the Nun. In this week portion, we have a secret prevention for the time you fall. I'm not talking about physical falling. I'm not talking about falling in business only. I'm talking about when your spirit is falling down to the ground, and the ground represent me, and myself. I'm busy how bad I am, and I'm busy how good I am. I'm feeling guilty for what I did. Why are you feeling guilty? Take responsibility. It's better than feeling guilty. People normally who feel guilty are lazy. Because they feel guilty instead of doing something about it. Think about it. Now, let's read from the Zohar. What is the two Nun stand for? So I'm reading from the Zohar Sulam in verse Kuf Kaf Zayin, 127. So the one who brings it to our attention is the son of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar. He say, "Amar, I will translate. Amar kan yesh listakel anun shimachzira paner lachor kan bebet bekumot." Said the Nun is twisted in both places. You have two of them. One Nun twisted in the beginning of the verse, and one Nun is twisted in the end of the verse. The Nun, the twisted in the beginning of the verse, face the portion before. The other Nun is facing the verse and the back, because the letter Nun, those of you who don't know how it looks like, here I'm drawing it to you, it almost looks like the letter Bet. So the back of the letter facing the continuation of the story. The question is why? So first we know the letter Nun stand for falling. So it's to prevent falling. And it's like that. Rabbi Lazar's opinion, it say, the verse in between those two Nun is a verse that speak about Vayibin So Aaron. When the ark was traveling, Vayomer Moshe, Moses said, Kuma Hashem, rise, God, the Lord, and your enemy will go away. That's what the verse say between those two Nun. So it's telling us something that whoever knows this verse in English or in Hebrew, that verse can help you every time you're falling down. Every time you are falling apart spiritually, falling apart relationship-wise, falling apart business, falling apart health-wise, this is the verse you should always connect to. You want a healing power? In this verse. You want money power? In this verse. You want to elevate yourself spiritually? This is the verse to help you. This is the verse that has within it everything. Everything is contained in this short verse. That's why I always said, when people ask me, what is the most powerful portion in the Torah? I say all of them. But if you're asking me, this week. Because within Baalotcha, you have all the solution for all problem. Everything is there. Everything is in one single portion. So you say like that. Rabbi Lazar said that the reason that Nun is twist the first one, which is facing the beginning of the book, remember, it can face this way or that way. So if it's facing in a regular way, like in Hebrew, go from right to left, so the Nun have to face from right to left. But the first Nun going from left to right, like English. So now the back is to the continuation of the verse. So I want to make sure that maybe I can put it on the camera so you can see it. I'm just looking for you because it's not fair just to explain it to you and you guys are not in the same page. So I'm looking for it. Here, I don't know if you can see it. Here, that's the first moon. See that? See how it's facing? Not like Ibu. This is the second moon. See that? I don't know if you can see that. I'm sorry. It's white, so I don't know if... Yeah. And try to take a picture with your phone now, and maybe then you're going to see it later, okay? Now, so when you are looking at that, you look at one noon facing before that, and the other noon facing away from the continuation. So why is it like that? Rabbi Lazar said, the son of Rabbi Shimon said, that no matter what happened, the noon, which is the Shekhinah, which is the female aspect of God, Bina, if you want, because noon means 50, and 50 means Bina, never want to leave the Israelite. Almost like a deer, I don't know if you know how deer, when the deer running away from somewhere, he stop and then he look back. So the noon, the head of the noon look like the deer. Rabbi Shimon, the father of Rabbi Lazar, answered to his son, it's true that we need to have two noon, one going this way and one going another way. But he said to Rabbi Shimon, לא החזירה המלכות פניה מישראל, לא הפסיקה השפעת כמו שאמר רבי לזר, וכן את הנונה הזו כתובה צריכה להיות בהיפוך, וכן זו נונה אחרת עליונה. צאתו אם I disagree with you, רבי שמעון, רבי לזר. The first noon, I agree, it's facing the Israelite because he loved the Israelite, that they are spiritual, the part spiritual. But the second noon should not verse also backward to the verse before. It should go around and face the people. And say, I don't think you're right about the second noon. There's a debate on that. We need to know why they have a debate. And it say, Ela Vadai, Rabbi Shimon said, it's for sure, and I'm full with certainty, that the Malchut לא החזירה פניה מישראל, מה עשתה שבשרת הוא לא, אז אמר שובה השם. So, what happened? Said Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said, if you look at the verse after that, the Israelites start complaining. The noon, which represents the Shekhinah, represents the purity of the light, said, I cannot face something that include complaint. I'm going to face myself to the other direction. So the noon turned around. And by the way, any scroll of Torah, of Bible, that's written by hand, those of you who don't know how scroll look like, if the noon is not written perfectly, that Torah cannot be used, it's not valid. But if in any other place the noon is written in that way, the Torah is not valid. So only in this weak portion. Only in this weak portion. Now, why is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar have different opinion? And why is it so important to know who is right? The reasoning of things in many times in your life are more important than the thing that you experience. To know the why elevates you from oblivious to responsible and then, of course, to a full awareness. You always have to know why. Some people disturbed by the question why is because they are oblivious. They don't like it. And I'm not trying to put oblivious people as bad. Being oblivious is great because you have no fear. That's one of the greatest things to have. But being oblivious all your life, not making you grow. The debate of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, and his son Rabbi Lazar, is not for the sake of the debate. It's for the sake to know why a letter that represents falling facing that way or the other way. And the reason Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is right, and there is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai specifically said to his son, that's the reason, and I don't need to tell you who Rabbi Shimon is, somebody that God asked the angel to ask him, what do you think his opinion is? So we're talking about not a regular human being. So now, Rabbi Shimon is explaining the concept of complaint. What makes people fall? And that's really the revelation here. Rabbi Shimon is basically explaining that the concept of complaint is the concept that basically destroy us. If you want to know when you start falling down, you want to know when you're falling down, when things start to go bad in your life. Rabbi Shimon is revealed to you through the Zohar. When you complain, things start to go bad. Why? You want to tell me that if I'm going to a restaurant that the food is bad, I can't say something? That's not the tradition in America. I remember first time that I complained in a restaurant. Happened, I remember even the year. It was before my daughter was born. So it was in 2002. This was the first time I complained. I didn't know how to complain. If the food was bad in a restaurant, I used to leave angry. I didn't know that. Somebody owned the restaurant take me one time to lunch, and he saw my face that I didn't like the food. And I say, why don't you say something to the waiters? I say, listen, I used to work as a cook and as a waiter, so I don't know how to complain. He said, just don't complain. Just say, I'm not happy. And if they ask you, you go ahead and tell them. So the question is, complain bad or not? Depends. If you complain for the sake of making things better around you, you complain about the government for the sake of making the government better. You complain about the police to make the police better. You complain about the law to make the law better. You complain about the food to make the restaurant better. That type of complaint is called a building complaint. That's not a falling complaint. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has cleared out the concept to Rabbi Lazar. He said, listen, if you are understanding why the noon is there, you have to look at the next verse. What was the next verse right after that? Okay, if you look at the next verse. Vayam mitonenim. The people start to complain. And right after that, you know, it was a disease, a plague among them. And look what it say. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. It was free. We had zucchini, watermelon, onion, garlic, and hay. Watermelon for free. Fish. What's the point here? The Israelites complain many times, and I don't need to tell you how the Israelites complain. You just have to go and listen to Woody Allen. Woody Allen said, when you go to an Israeli restaurant, people complain twice. Why the food is bad, and why the portions are too small. And Woody Allen would say, if the food is bad, why do you need the big portion? I'm sure you heard it before. So, the idea here, God created a new food for them. What food was God feeding them in the desert? It's called the manna. What is the manna? Food that comes from heaven. What is the food that comes from heaven? It's called consciousness food. It's the angel food. The food becomes whatever you think it is. So you sit in a restaurant with no menu. There's no menu in a restaurant. And so you, whatever come on your plate, you think what it is, and it become. Can you complain about something like this? Can you find something wrong with that? You just tell me, how can you find what's wrong with that? Well, they did. They did find what's wrong even with that. But it's your own creation. How can you complain on your own creation? Complain not for the sake of making things better. It's an addiction. There is no worse addiction than complain not for the sake of building, for the sake of complain. There is a disease like that. It's a disease. It's an addiction. Worse than cocaine and alcohol and gambling. I have to complain. Can't help it. I have to complain. So when they complain, before those two noon twisted, they complain of their disability to complain. That was the complaint. I'm not able to complain. God gave me everything. I'm angry. How can I complain? For that reason, King Solomon said, Im ra'ev oivecha, האכילהו לחם. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread. There is a long verse, but the short part is say, כי גחלים אתה חוטא על ראשו. In the book of King Solomon, it say, if your enemy is hungry, give him. Because you almost put a coal on his head. Why? It's the opposite, right? We live in a society, if you have an enemy, you don't give, you take. Here it say, give, כי גחלים, you're putting a hot, boil, fire, whatever you want to call it, coal on his head. Because when somebody want to be a complainer, it's regardless what you're going to do. If you're in a marriage with somebody who's complaining and abusing you, I promise you, if they don't get help, they're going to continue to complain. It's always going to be something wrong. Because complaining is a disease, it's an addiction. If they complain for the sake of better you, better the family, better the marriage, better the business, it's good. Listen, work together. You can have a debate, an argument, because it's for the sake of building. But here, the complaint was, it's going nowhere. And it's to teach us something. If you want to become Balot Chayta Nerot, if you want to elevate yourself this week, good. Then you have to find the candle from within, the flame from within. If you're all day long finding what's wrong with you, with others, with life, and you're not willing to change your life, you're willing to stay in the same life that you complain about, then, my dear friend, you are suffering from a severe spiritual, mental addiction. And you better stop, because you're destroying your life. You're making everything falling apart. This is one of the strongest message that I can tell you now. I hope there is a value in this message, in your mind, in your eyes, and in your heart, in your gut, as much as the message value by all the sages. I just hope for you that you get this message seriously. Seriously, because the elevation of this week is tremendous. But are you going to be one of those people who are going to look at other people elevated? Or are you going to be one of those people who are sitting there almost like those two old guys in the Muppet Show, if you remember the Muppet Show. Maybe you're too young for that. Used to be in a balcony. I don't remember the name, forgive me. And they just find what's wrong with everything. There is such a thing. And we have to stop doing that. We have to stop pointing finger, not at ourselves in the mirror and not at others. And we say, okay, I'm not happy with this situation. You're allowed to say so. But what am I going to do about it? What is the change I'm going to take? Mana, what does mana mean? Generosity of the divine to come to your life. Am I going to find something wrong with that? Yes, you will. But do you want to find out to use it? Do you want to find out to build it? That's good. Please, please remember that. Please. A lot of time, you know, couples are fighting, and they're fighting, and they're fighting. And sometimes, you know, I believe if the couples are men and women, women sometimes need to talk, because women are malchut, and the mouse is called in Kabbalah, if you want to study deep, it's called malchut de rosh. They have to speak. So women are not always looking for solution. So they will complain about many things before they tell you what's wrong. With the men, they pinpoint the one thing. But if they find you defensive, they will back off because they don't find themselves getting closer to the solution. So they back off. And then they go and do all kinds of things that you don't want them to do. But they will do it because they don't find an address where they can deliver the message. Yes, you can blame the man. Yes, you can blame the woman. But in the end of the day, if you're in a relationship, you have to find a way, how can I build it to become a better relationship? And this is what you have to be brave enough to do. Now, in the end of the portion, Miriam, the sister of Moses, and Aaron, the brother of Moses, were the most elevated people ever lived. Speak behind the back of Moses, and they say that Moses' wife is too beautiful, is too sexy. If you look at the translation, you might get confused. He say ki isha kushit lakach. If you look at the translation, and I ask you to look at it, he have a wife who's too dark. But they don't say it in a connotation of negative. They say it in a connotation that she's too gorgeous. How can a spiritual leader have such a beautiful wife? And right away, Miriam, the prophet, was covered with leprosy all over her body. In that moment, God heard Moses pray, and he shared the shortest prayer ever created. It's called El Na Refan Allah. Everybody should know it by now, because every time somebody gets sick, you just say this mantra, and you remove the disease. El Na Refan Allah. Those of you who don't know how to say it, Debbie will be happy to send it to you. El Na Refan Allah. And when you say that verse, you remove the negativity of the disease. El Na Refan Allah. Now why? Why is that happen? Of course, the Bible is not here just to tell us a story. The Bible is here to tell us that when we are judgmental, we are always going to find something to judge. The food, judge ourselves, judge others. We judge the spiritual leaders too rich. We judge the spiritual leader too ugly. We judge the spiritual leader too tall. And then we're going to judge why the spiritual leader should have a beautiful wife. We don't believe spirituality can go with perfection. We believe spirituality has to be damaged. Spiritual person has to be with their tear pants, poor, no food to eat. He and his wife are ugly. Or she, if she's the spiritual leader, so she and her husband are ugly. Who put that into the brain of people? Religion. Religion damaged the brain of humanity only in the last 200 years. So it's not old. And it put in our mind that spirituality has to be something with damage, what we call underdog, and then we can love spirituality. The other way around. The divine, the beautiful light of the divine, can go into a person and make them look great and make them rich and make them everything successful. There's no need to suffer. If for some reason, from a reincarnation point of view, you have to suffer, then you have to go through that. But it doesn't mean that you make yourself poor or ugly just by choice. So, going back to the elevation, how do we elevate? To get an understanding of how to create this elevation, I need to read to you from a section that usually I don't share, but I shared with my family, and then my family thought it would be a good idea that I share it with you as well. And the section is from Tehillim, from the Book of Psalm, and it's a section that the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, explained to his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, the meaning of that section. And it says, who are we as people? And that's what he writes, Rabbi Chaim Vital. There's many levels of souls, many levels. Sometimes we see a person that his action or her action are wonderful. They're only acting in a spiritual way. But midotav meaning their attribute, I hope you understand the concept, the word, mean attribute, are negative. Meaning, I work in a rehab for many years. So in a rehab, you meet a lot of people who are perfect people. The most spiritual people. But the poor people have some addiction. Some have addiction to drugs. Some have addiction to sex. Some have addiction to food. Some addiction to approval. Or ego. Everybody have. That's called midot. That's called attribute. So sometimes we meet people that their act are wonderful, but the midot, the attribute, are not. Then we have people that their action is negative, but their midot, the attribute, is nice. So they scream, they yell, they're not nice people, but when you nobody see them, they're unbelievable. And there is good in both, and bad in both. But why is it like that? Sometimes you have a person that the righteous person came to help him, or her, and is surrounding them. So those people are good. And when a person is have a righteous person helping him, that means he will be always bad behavior, he will be spiritually bad, but the midot, he will never do things behind people's eyes that nobody see in a negative way. But the opposite, sometimes person born with the soul of a righteous man or woman, but for some negative thing he did, there is a wicked soul who come and surrounding him and advising him to do more negative things. So what did we learn from that? Don't judge. Sometimes you see people who are so spiritual, so beautifully spiritual, but you don't know what's going on in their house. Maybe in their house they're struggling with ego, with drugs addiction, with all type of negativity. Then you have the other people who are never been spiritual. They do all the negative things that are written in the book not to do. But behind, in their home, when somebody needs help, they are there for them. You have these two type of people living in our universe. The question, what type of person are you? And where in your life you need to create elevation? Is elevation need to take a place in area of how you act outside or how you act with yourself inside? And this is a question that you need to ask yourself, because sometimes when you are busy with how people will see you, then when you go home you do all the negative thing. If you look at the other people, they don't care if people will see them. They have a better chance to become more spiritual than people are on the outside. We all see spiritual leaders out there. Wow, there's millions of them. In the old days, 500 years ago, it used to be 5, 6. That's it. Today, there are spiritual leaders everywhere. Everybody's a guru. Everybody's a spiritual leader. And I love them all, by the way. I never judge spiritual leader. Whoever want to become a spiritual leader, why not? Welcome. I love you, you know. So when you have a gift, why not to elevate it? The question between you and yourself, what are you doing? Are you for real? And when you do the negative thing that nobody see you doing, do you tell yourself you just did it, or you lie to yourself? That's a question that Rabbi Chaim Vital is raising here. Ba'alotcha, meaning to elevate yourself. If you want to elevate yourself, you got to know who you are. You got to know where it's difficult for you to elevate. What's real? Are you lazy when nobody sees you? Are you cheating when nobody sees you? If you're cheating your partner, and when you come home everything is okay, it looks good. It's not a problem. For your partner, you look perfect. But inside of you, at least to yourself, do you tell yourself I'm a cheater? At least to yourself, do you tell yourself I'm a thief? You gotta ask yourself that. And for that reason, I want to take you to a short meditation. And in the short meditation, what I want to take you to is to get to a place where you are truly with yourself, you know, like really with yourself, to have something which is looking into your soul, looking into the candle, maybe that's a better way to put it, looking into your candles and see how far you can go. To do that, you have to, when you look, when you sit or stand or whatever you do, or lying in bed, your eyes, if you look straight, is this way, okay, 90 degree to the floor. You want to make sure that your eyes will look up about 30 degree from the floor, not 60, not too much, just 30. So it's only the eyes that moving, not the chin, not the jaw, then the face stay the same. You see, it's the face, it stay the same. So my eyes are just moving a little bit up. When you move the eyes up, you activate a part of your mind to go forward. So try to imagine that the forward here is to be able to do things that you will never dare to do. To be able to say things that you never dare to say, and to be able to think things that you never dare to think. That's how your next elevation will look like. Not the easy things, my friend. Not the easy things. So I'm going to take you to the meditation, step by step. Here we go. First, let me put the melody here. I want you to sit and relax. If you're lying down in bed, lying down in bed. If you worry you might go to sleep, go to sleep. It's all good. It's all elevation. Doesn't matter what you do. You're beautiful. Before we start, I want you to tell your mind 10 times how much you love yourself. I love myself. I am great. I'm incredible. Please tell it to yourself. I love myself. Repeat it. I love myself. I am beautiful. I am smart. I am capable. Speak nice to yourself. Speak nice to yourself. Please. Please. Speak nice to yourself. I am beautiful. I am capable. Now, make sure that your eyes, if they're still open, look up about 30 degrees. And then as you look up, you slowly, slowly close your eyes, but you keep your eyes still looking up, and that creates a certain tension. I want you to feel that tension in your eyes. Good. Good. What we're going to do, we're going to fly like an eagle today. I want you to be able to see yourself standing on a cliff. The sky is so beautiful, blue. The water and the ocean and the wave are keep hitting those rocks in the bottom. But you, the beautiful eagle, standing on that beautiful cliff. You're not ready yet to spring your wings and fly. But you know that you're willing to think about the thing that you don't even dare to say, but you will. You don't dare to do, but you will. All your action, your thought, and the words are coming to fruition because you're no longer ashamed of it. Your soul is coming to fruition. Your flame is coming to manifestation. So please, I want you to feel the winds under your wings. Spread your wings and fly down to where the ocean, the wave hit the rocks. I want you just to fly just above the water, slowly, slowly. Enjoy the breathe. Enjoy the water. Enjoy looking at the sky. As the sky is so beautifully light blue. And fly, and fly. Look at all the details. Smell the ocean. Feel the winds. And start thinking, what is forbidden in your mind? What is that you've been told you're not allowed to think about? What is that you tell yourself that you're not allowed to think about? What is that your limited thought that not allowed you to elevate to the level where you belong? As you fly, I want you to land in one of the most beautiful sand, beautiful beach, where exactly the water touched the sand. It's kind of a little bit wet from the wave before, but it's still dry. So it's exactly at that place. And I want you to start thinking, what is that you don't dare to say? You're afraid, you're nervous to talk about it. Put that fear in writing on the sand and wait for the wave to come and erase that fear. Now come the last but not least. What is this one action you don't dare to do? Is it confrontation? Is it speaking up? Is it teaching? Is it public speaking? Is it asking somebody's out? Is it offering a friendship on Facebook or Instagram to somebody you like? What is that you don't dare to do because of fear of being hurt or because of fear of being judged? Accept yourself. Accept yourself. Write that fear on the dirt. Write that fear on the beach, on the sand. Big letters. Please. And I want you to see as the wave coming to erase all those fear you have. And you're wearing one of the most beautiful smile you ever wear on your face right now. Focus on your body, as this body is the body of an eagle. And as the ocean erases all your fear, you are flying above the wave and say thank you to each wave that comes to your life. Each wave that comes to erase your fear. Fly as high as you can to go back to that beautiful cliff that you stood up before. Fly as high. Elevate the alotra. Elevate your candle. You are a candle that the wind cannot blow, because your inner candle is the most powerful thing. Love yourself. Focus on your breathing, on your eyes still up. Inhale and exhale for 3 times. From your mouth, from your nose, doesn't matter. Just make sure you love yourself. And keep this candle going. I want you to thank you so much. Say thank you to all of you for joining me tonight. You know, this meditation was short. I know it was only 9 minutes. I'm sorry for that. But you can do it at home, with me or without me. So make sure you believe in yourself. Make sure you do the thing that you always dream about, but you gave it up because of fear. Make sure you say the thing that can build you and build others. Speak up, because it's going to build others. There's no reason to speak to destroy others, of course, you know it. And have some thought about all the great things that you ever want to think about, and you didn't dare. Because this section called Ba'alotcha, meaning elevating, and I can't wait to dance with you, to hug you, to be with you. You have to understand this situation of all of us, our home, built such an incredible love in my heart to all humanity, to all people. There's nothing that I miss more than meeting face-to-face human being, whatever it is, shake their hand, hug if they're not afraid of me because I can hug a little bit too strong, or dance with them, or do something with them. I hope we can be together very much soon, and we can reveal that love we have in our heart. Let me take a chance now. If you have question, I'm going to say now thank you to all of you. And I'm going to go one by one to say thank you to Marty, to iPhone, to Hannah, Esther, to Sharona, to Nicole, to Joanna, to Linda, to Sabrina, welcome back, to Susan Friend, miss you, Faye, Sarah Goldstein, Esther, Jeff Rosenkreten, Alan, Jennifer Pinto, Gabriel, Dua Queen, did I forget somebody? Charlotte Meyer, of course, Sabrina and Lola, Gabriel, I say it, Michael Englander, happy birthday, happy English birthday, Michael Englander. Make sure you eat unhealthy a little bit. Today, only today, Lydia Vega, 760.
Brenda.
Huh?
Brenda,
I'm sorry, Brenda from Vegas. Say hello to your father. And just to let all of you know that you are the flame, you are the wind after my wings. Without you, I will not be able to fly. So there's no words in my mouth that I can say enough thank you for you to build me up, to give me a chance to share this wisdom with you. So thank you, and I love you so much. Make sure you love yourself the same way.